This is The Rotunda. I'm Tranel Gomes.
He's forgetting every last one of us. Americans don't say, I alone can fix it. We say, we'll fix it together.
Hillary Clinton on the attack after accepting the Democratic Party's nomination for president. Clinton's historic moment tainted by another email scandal, this time causing DNC Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz to resign. Wasserman Schultz's primary challenger, Tim Canova, also goes on the attack.
When you look through the WikiLeaks email releases, you'll see that my name comes up dozens and dozens of times. And it's clear that Wasserman Schultz was using DNC resources to monitor our campaign.
And there is even more fallout as Senator Geraldine Thompson and other Democrats running for Congress say their own party is cheating.
I could see no reason why I should spend thousands of dollars to go to Philadelphia in support of a party that is not supportive of fair and open competition in a Democratic primary.
All that and more coming up on episode 70 of The Rotunda.
Although we weren't able to shatter that highest, hardest glass ceiling this time, thanks to you, it's got about 18 million cracks in it.
That was Hillary Clinton in 2008, conceding defeat when she endorsed Senator Barack Obama for president. Fast forward 8 years later to the 2016 Democratic National Convention.
Philadelphia, I am so happy. It's been a great day and night. What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet. Thanks to you and to everyone who's fought so hard to make this possible. This is really your victory. This is really your night.
That's Hillary Clinton accepting the Democratic nomination for president. But just like the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, it was a rocky start to the DNC in Philly. An email scandal showed that the DNC, where Florida's own Debbie Wasserman Schultz was chair, may have helped throw a few rocks to help make that big crack in that glass ceiling. Leaked emails revealed that party officials strategized against Bernie Sanders in favor of Hillary Clinton.
Shame. 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 Shame.
Now for all of you Game of Thrones fans, shame. Remember the Walk of Atonement for Cersei Lannister.
Shame. Shame.
Many started making that shame. Link to the popular HBO series.
Shame.
When Wasserman Schultz attempted shame. To push through and address the shame. Florida delegation during one of the convention shame. Breakfasts. At the time, she was insisting shame. On opening up the convention and closing shame. It, with her resignation as chair effective shame. At the end of the week. But this happened. Some in the Florida delegation booed her at breakfast. Bernie Sanders supporters were very outraged at the email scandal. Here's Sarah McFadden, a Sanders delegate, speaking to The Guardian.
Several of us had signs that said emails, and they were printed on backsides, both sides, so the press could see, because there were many cameramen there, quite a large contingent of press. There were other signs about thanks for the help, in quotes. We kind of rushed the stage. We weren't even sure she was going to be allowed to speak because they knew that how upset everyone was. And we held the signs high. There were shouts of boo. There were shouts of shame. I was fairly close to the podium, and I couldn't hear anything that she was saying.
Thank you all so much. First of all, I want to ask everybody to join me in acknowledging that we had a tragic shooting in Fort Myers just yesterday, where there were children who were in harm's way and people lost their lives. I'm so proud to have been able called to serve.
There were calls for Wasserman Schultz to disappear altogether, but it took the booing at the breakfast to send the message loud and clear that it was the end of the road. Outside of the email scandal, DNC pulled off a star-studded and more organized convention compared to the Republican convention. It was a full-on production that could have gone off without a hitch.
Let's roar for Hillary!
Except for the Bernie or bus folks, cute Sarah Silverman, who called them ridiculous during her speech. But Hillary Clinton knew she had to quickly embrace Sanders and his loyal supporters.
I want to thank Bernie Sanders. Bernie, your campaign inspired millions of Americans, particularly the young people who threw their hearts and souls into our primary. You've put economic and social justice issues front and center where they belong. And to all of your supporters here and around the country, I want you to know, I've heard you. Your cause is our cause.
DNC speakers all painted a picture of why Donald Trump would be bad for America. Here's President Obama.
America is already great. America is already strong. And I promise you, our strength, our greatness, does not depend on Donald Trump. In fact, it doesn't depend on any one person. And that, in the end, may be the biggest difference in this election. The meaning of our democracy. Ronald Reagan called America a shining city on a hill. Donald Trump calls it a divided crime scene that only he can fix. It doesn't matter to him that illegal immigration and the crime rate are as low as they've been in decades. Because he's not actually offering any real solutions to those issues. He's just offering slogans. And he's offering fear. He's betting that if he scares enough people, he might score just enough votes to win this election.
There were a number of notable moments from Vice President Joe Biden to one that is still making headlines. Khazar Khan, whose son died fighting in Iraq, stood alongside his wife and gave an emotional speech questioning whether Trump had ever read the U.S. Constitution.
Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing and no one.
Trump responded to the criticism by turning attention to Khan's wife, suggesting that she wasn't even allowed to speak. Here is Trump with ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
How would you answer that, Father? What sacrifice have you made for your country?
I think I made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs. I think
those are sacrifices?
Oh, sure, I think they're sacrifices. I think when I can employ thousands and thousands of people, take care of their education, take care of so many things, even in military, I mean, I was very responsible, along with a group of people, for getting the Vietnam Memorial built in downtown Manhattan, which to this day people thank me for. I have raised millions of dollars for the vets. I'm helping the vets a lot.
Trump's response to the Khan family received widespread criticism from both Republicans and Democrats. Mr. Khan made the rounds on the Sunday talk shows, appealing for help from Trump's own family.
For this candidate for presidency to not be aware of the respect of a Gold Star mother standing there, and he had to take that shot at her, this is height of ignorance. This is why I showed him that Constitution. Had he read that, he would know what status a Gold Star mother holds in this nation. This country holds such a person in the highest regard, and he has no knowledge, no awareness. That is height of his ignorance. She is ill. She had high blood pressure. People that know her looked at her face and she said, I may fall off the stage. And I told her that you have to assemble yourself and stand for the beauty of this tribute that is being paid. This person is totally incapable of empathy. I want his family to counsel him, teach him some empathy. He will be a better person if he could become, but he is a black soul. And this is totally unfit for the leadership of this beautiful country. The love and affection that we have received affirms that our beliefs, our experience in this country had been correct and positive.
At the twilight's last gleaming, whose
this is The Rotunda, a podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare.
And that voice is Tallahassee's very own Star Swain singing the national anthem at the DNC.
Through the night that our flag was still there.
You may recall seeing her viral video from her impromptu rendition at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Mayor Andrew Gillum also represented Florida on the national stage.
Because in the end, y'all, in the end, we all want the same thing for our families. Our fates are inextricably tied together. And with the right leadership, we can renew our trust in one another again. I believe, with every fiber of my being, that Hillary Clinton is the leader that we need.
Florida had tremendous representation at both the RNC and DNC. Governor Rick Scott and Attorney General Pam Bondi took to the stage in Cleveland. And as you've just heard, Star Swain, Mayor Andrew Gillum, and of course, former DNC Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz stole the show. Well, that's up for debate, of course. Perhaps the balloons and confetti, or watching President Bill Clinton and vice presidential nominee going crazy chasing after them, is what actually stole the show. Coming up, State Senator Geraldine Thompson, who's running for Congress, says it's not just Bernie Sanders getting burned by the DNC.
And so it needs to stop. So this is part of how the Democratic Party has lost its way in terms of trying to decide for communities and to control communities.
Stay tuned. Hey Hey there, visit RotundaPodcast.com to keep up with all the action and the latest news. Invite your friends to subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And thanks for all your support.
My name is Val Demings, and I'm running for Congress in the great state of Florida.
What a coveted speaking slot. To be able to speak at the DNC, it can help launch political careers, raise profiles of rising stars in politics, and so much more. So Val Demings has scored a big opportunity, especially considering she's not the only Democrat running in her district.
Congressional District 10, which is Orange County, Florida, and there are four Democrats in this race, which will be decided August 30th during the primary. We, however, have the Democratic Campaign Coordinating Committee, the Democratic National Committee interfering in this race and channeling resources to one chosen candidate. And I think they've forgotten what Democratic means.
All right, so Senator Geraldine Thompson is hoping to use her experience in the state legislature as a launch pad to Washington. So what does Democratic mean?
Democratic people choose their own representatives. And it is not the party, it is not the powerful, but it's the people. And what we have here is a top-down effort to choose who's going to be the next member of Congress from Orange County.
What evidence do you have that there is favoritism?
During the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, one of the candidates in this race, Val Demings, was allowed to speak during a portion of the convention that focused on women in Congress.
On issue after issue, it's the leadership of women that makes a stronger America. With Hillary Clinton in the White House and these strong House Democratic women, together with women and families all across our nation, we will show the world what this statement really means. When women succeed, America succeeds.
She is not a member of Congress. In addition to her speaking, there was a young woman who was challenging Congressman Micah, and I can understand that because she's not in a primary. She's the only Democrat in a race against a Republican. But they showcased Val Demings as a candidate in this race when there are three other people who are running as well. So that's certainly evidence. Nancy Pelosi has come to the district to tout Val. And as I mentioned before, there are three other highly qualified individuals in this race, and one of those is me. And of the four people who are running, I'm the only one who's ever been elected to office or who has any legislative experience. This is my 10th year in the Florida legislature, 6 years in the House and 4 years in the Senate. And yet you have the DNC, you have the DCCC choosing an individual who's never been elected to office, who was appointed as a police chief, and who's never worked with appropriations or worked through the legislative process.
So how do you understand the process? How do you think it's supposed to work? Are they supposed to stay neutral, or are you, as a candidate, supposed to seek and prove your worth to get them to come in and help?
I went to Washington, D.C. in September of 2015 and met with the people at the Democratic Campaign Coordinating Committee, and I told them I would be running in Congressional District 10. They said that their past practice and policy had been not to be involved in a Democratic primary, that in instances where there was more than one Democrat, they would remain neutral. That's what they said to me. And yet they are, as I mentioned, channeling resources and showing unbelievable partiality to one candidate in the race. We have many other races where it would be possible to change a seat from a Republican-held congressional seat and then make it a Democratic seat. This seat, based on the map and based on voter registration patterns and demographics, this seat is going to elect a Democrat. So why are you channeling your resources to a seat that is not competitive in, for a Republican? The incumbent in this district, Congressman Daniel Webster, has moved and is running out of Congressional District 11. So that says that, you know, this is not an opportunity to flip from red to blue. And so for the life of me, understand why they are interjecting themselves in this race.
So what do you make of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's resignation following the email leak showing DNC staff played favorites between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders?
Well, this is all cut from the same cloth. You have evidence through WikiLeaks and through emails that, in fact, there was an effort to shift the race for Hillary and to influence the outcome of the race, and this led to her resignation. Even though she has resigned, the interference in primaries where there are Democrats has not stopped. And so it really needs to stop. So this is part of how the Democratic Party has lost its way in terms of trying to decide for communities and to control communities and to have a top-down kind of approach to making sure that their selected candidate prevails in a Democratic primary.
Do you plan to take your grievances to Donna Brazile, the new acting chair for the DNC?
Well, the first step was the press conference that I had this morning with one of the other candidates in the race, attorney Fatima Rita Fahmy. She and I had a joint press conference to talk about what's happening in this race. So this is the beginning, and then we're going to take whatever other steps we feel are necessary to communicate to Washington, D.C., that this is a race where the people should have the opportunity to decide rather than the party.
So why didn't you just go to the DNC and shove and squeeze your way onto the stage?
I'm sure there's lots of security that would have prevented jumping on the stage. But to answer your question, I could see no reason why I should spend thousands of dollars to go to Philadelphia in support of a party that is not supportive of fair and open competition in a Democratic primary. They have indicated that from Nancy Pelosi's endorsement of Val Demings, which occurred around January or February, having people come to Ben Ray Lujan, came to Orlando in support of Val. So for the first time in more than a decade, I did not seek to go to the convention at all.
That's Democratic State Senator Geraldine Thompson, a candidate in Florida's 10th congressional district. In response to Thompson's criticism, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee told the Orlando Sentinel that their support for Demings comes as no surprise since she lost narrowly to incumbent Republican Dan Webster in 2012. Spokesman Jermaine House went on to say that Demings' performance was impressive and earned her the support of many in Central Florida and Washington. The fourth Democrat in the race is former state party chairman Bob Poe, who is featured on episode 64. Visit rotundapodcast.com to listen back to that episode, or just hop on back right on your smart devices. In other news this week, Zika. Florida is on alert with two homegrown cases identified in South Florida. Tim Canova is showing 8 points behind Wasserman Schultz, so that's a race to watch. And things are about to get real interesting with less than 100 days to the general election. The Clinton campaign announced that Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine is scheduled to visit Volusia County on Tuesday. Trump will make stops in Daytona Beach and Jacksonville on Wednesday. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Senator Geraldine Thompson. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com and join us again next week, right here, for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.